Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where you two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 13, and we'll be talking about episode 13 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Coming Home, in which we kinda get why Amuro is like this. Moe agare, and take it away. What happens when
it starts with you saying hello? I know that. Right?
typically, yes. It starts with me going, "Hello, everyone! Welcome back to Mobile Suit Fandom.
You piece of shit."
As I ambush Chris on a weekly basis with us actually starting this episode, it's become a tradition at this point, like cutting the Thanksgiving turkey or dumping our youngest virgin boy into the volcano. is that not tradition where you're at?
I'm from Texas, so it's usually just women.
I'm also from Texas. I guess Austin's that much more. It's amazing the kind of difference you can get with just a couple of 100 miles. anyway.
So, starting this episode off right.
Yeah. Nothing like some sacrifice to start the... I mean, that's what I do before we hit record every time. I actually wasn't turning on my AC just now. I was,
sacrificing a virgin.
No, a goat. A goat.
A mid-level sacrifice, then.
Go whole hog just for recording a podcast.
Actually, hogs are like a few steps below goats because they're not.
I figured they'd
like
be better.
It's more demonic. Like, you got a little you'll goat eyes and the hooves and.
Yeah, I guess. And goats also provide, you know, milk. So, you can't milk a pig, or I don't think you can.
I wouldn't. I'm sure. No, I'm sure it's not suggestible.
Yeah, it's not the recommended serving suggestion.
I know, like, again, I live in, this is dumb for the podcast, I'm probably going to cut it out, but I'm not going to cut it out. I live in East Texas, so there's just a lot of houses that just have animals out front.
Right.
Just a front yard farm. And, like, if I see a goat or some chickens, I'm like, yeah, y'all are probably okay. Like, you're probably there to mow the lawn or give milk or something. When I see a pig, I'm just like, sorry, buddy, you're fucked. You're bacon.
You're probably not the family pet, my guy. Not likely. Not in this part. Not in this neg of the woods.
No.
Gundam.
I'm Chris.
Oh yeah, I'm Fuzzy.
Our voices are so similar that we have to say our names.
It's true. We have to remind everyone because otherwise they'll just get lost. Really?
Yeah. Who knows?
Anyway. So,
what's the name of this stupid episode?
Coming Home.
Yeah, that's a name. That's
episode
a name for this episode.
13 of Mobile Suit Gundam, Coming Home, in which Amuro comes home.
Mm-hmm. I wrote fuck a lot in my notes for this episode.
I like my problem is I don't on that laugh.
I should really like separate what. So I write down what I think I should say, or like something. I'm not gonna fucking write lines for myself, but like I write down, like I try to get my emotion down in my notes, but right. I don't write what I'm talking about. So this is just there's just a bunch of all caps and key mashing that I don't know what it refers to anymore.
You need to start time coding, you fucks.
So I'll let you start, because
all right.
Mine starts with a stupid Sayla quote that pissed me off.
Alright, so the episode proper, after we get, you know, the ritual opening and previously on Pat backstory. It's more like the opening crawl.
I do have something I'd like to bring up right now. I kind of missed them dropping
aside the colony.
That was a half. Like, I just, I don't know. I kind of got used to it. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Now there's just this big empty space next to me on my bed, and I don't know what to do. I still just sleep on the side that's over here, but now Australia is not blowing up on the other side. I just...
It's lonely. It's lonely.
Like, I don't even
half of the population is dead.
Right. Though this episode... you know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair. I sometimes miss that too. That being said, I do like how it's kind of... It's a Star Wars crawl. Like, the second 90 seconds is basically just a Star Wars crawl.
Yep. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
This is going on. Yeah. War as hell.
Yeah, I'm kind of into that. And I appreciate that they did alter it a bit, so it's like, okay. So we've learned some things. By this point, you probably know that Australia's just gone. So let's talk about some other shit. And I do kind of appreciate that. Yeah. Anyway. So the episode proper...
I'm just saying they don't cuddle like Australia did, though.
They do kind of just jump right into it. It's not...
Yeah, it's real...
Yeah. It's real mean. It's probably because we're forced to look at Girin's face and Degwin's monster gone. Just, like, kind of as the final shot of that thing, where it's just like, hey, these are our villains. Just BD dubs.
Yuck.
Anyway. So, the episode proper starts with a panning shot of White Base, which has a bunch of moss on top of it. The briefest of moments, making me go, oh, that's quite a time skip, but no, it's just a very shitty attempt at camouflage, I guess.
Yeah, so they...
Because it's not some fucking moss on top.
So they wear they and also I don't know they don't go into it. I don't think, like, they don't have, like, oh, we have this spray can thing. You just spray on moss. They had to go find a fuckload of moss to cover this piece of shit.
Yes, and casual reminder: White Base is fucking huge.
Just so massive.
Like, also, I'm imagining the cliff they're next to was once covered in moss, and they took all of it to daintily cover a few parts of White Base in moss.
Yeah, so they're not so much just, like, camouflaging it, they're just disguising it. Like, oh, maybe they'll think this is...
A different giant Trojan horse.
This is an old abandoned giant Trojan horse. But we're gonna leave the foot open so they can see Gundam just in case, because we gotta let people know this is Gundam.
Yeah, it's true. Well, neither of us know why it was covered in moss, really, but it is.
Hayato, it looks cool.
It does.
I guess.
It does look cool, I guess. Hayato is showing Ryu some judo, which, I remind you, Ryu... Like, 6.5 feet tall. Like,
probably 300 pounds, easily. Mostly muscle.
Hayato, like, 4'11".
Next to him, he looks like one of the kids.
Yeah, like, height is variable, but always small.
Yeah, he is a little dude.
He's a little dude, and he fucking tosses Ryu on the ground like a bitch. Which is great, because it's like, hey, kids, you know judo? That's what you can do with judo.
Yeah, if
you
want to, judo makes big people small people.
Yep. So, the kids are playing in the water. They don't drown, unfortunately. The ladies...
I literally was like, Fuzzy's gonna hate this.
No, okay, fun. I don't hate this. I don't like the kids, but they're just playing. I'm fine with that. I just casually wish for their demise for all the Terra badness at other points in the show. In this point, they just laugh, and it's like, okay, the kids. Why they weren't evacuated with the rest of the civilians, I will never know, but the kids. So, the two, Sayla and Mirai are sunbathing casually.
Ooh, buddy.
Waxing poetic, write anything on this. Oh, apparently it didn't hit me, or maybe the Japanese me this way. Please, okay, so this is, take it away.
She just says, she doesn't say anything, okay, I'm gonna say the quote. When people talk about the open sky, I guess this is what they mean. The fuck? What do you mean when people talk about the open sky, I guess? Also, who the fuck is just like, oh, the open sky? I guess, you know, being on a space station, people might be like,
well,
yeah,
okay,
there was
so
sky
in the
and
Japanese,
shit.
They do actually, what they say in the Japanese, oh, man.
Did you just push your glasses all the way up through your head?
No. No, I'm fucking Porky Pig, though. excuse me. So, in the Japanese, they say, man, this light only coming from a single location feels weirdly artificial.
She also said that, too. She was like, they do the reflecting thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just everywhere.
Yeah, and she doesn't say, this must be what they mean when they say the open sky in the Japanese. She's just like, yeah, it's weirdly artificial. That's it. No, she doesn't have that bit, which is really fucking weird.
That was... And my problem is, like, on most anime, when they have, like, a weird fucking line, I'm like... They had fucking 7 seconds of the mouth moving. They had to fill some time. In this one, they don't give a fuck about that. Mouths move weird all over this show. They don't care. They don't give a fuck about the dub. Why did they do this? this is going to be a running theme for this episode, because some of the fucking dialogue in the first half of this episode, all the dialogue in this entire fucking episode.
This episode's really fucking weird for a variety of reasons. Anyway, so they're fucking waxing poetic on the sun, and Kai wanders by with a boombox and his boy shorts, and is like, where the fuck is Amuro, my dudes? And they're like, oh, his mom supposedly lives around here, this is near his hometown, so he's fucked off to go see them. To which Kai is like, oh, that was his core fighter leaving. I feel kind of, and this is the part I got a little like, what the fuck? I feel betrayed. I didn't realize Amuro was one of the elite.
Yeah.
And so we get, like, this low-key, like, revelation that, like, okay, only the rich stayed on Earth, and it was the poor and disenfranchised who were like, fuck you guys, go to space. Which, honestly, makes me kind of cooler with Zeon now. Because I'm like, oh, those must have been, like, the worst people since they got sent to the other side of the moon.
Also, heretofore... Up till this point, I don't know what word I'm looking for. As far as I know, Zeon doesn't use child soldiers.
Also true. I haven't seen any young people fighting for... Like, Char's the youngest person I've seen fighting. Like, Char and, Garma.
That we've already forgot about him. He's dead to us. And also dead.
He's dead to us and also in the fiction of the show. They dead.
Shit. Hold on, I gotta turn my shit down.
Okay. Fucking... also, just casually, I want to mention here, because I did just say that, but I want to, like, lay something out for those of you who don't know this offhand. The map of the Earth, like, sector right now is kind of funky, because, you know, there's a bunch of space stations all around here, right? Zeon is on the other side of the moon. That's how far away from Earth they were. Meanwhile, fucking, what was it? Side 7 is where we start. Yeah, Side 7, the direct opposite of the moon and Side 3, Zeon, etc. And Luna 2, they, like, orbit one point that they just hang out there. And yeah, most of the space colonies all exist on the moon or inwards, except for Side 3, who they were just like, fuck it, put it as far away as humanly possible. Fuck those guys. Get them out of here. And I totally forgot that until, like, just now, and I'm like, Zia's not so bad, now that I'm fucking thinking about it from that perspective. Fuck those Earth guys. It's kind of a dick move. Anyway, that was my piece on that. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm still here, sorry. Okay. I was just enraptured. I fucking spaced out, honestly.
I figured. I felt the glaze over. Anyway.
There's something else happening in the room, I'm sorry.
Kids, this has been Gundam Geography with Fuzzy. Spaceography with Fuzzy. The quiz will be on Tuesday.
Oh, fuck.
You can get the slides on Blackboard, anyway. So, yeah, we get that. We also learned that the general area that they're parked in is just embroiled in fighting right now. And so we're having a beach day over here, because fuck it. And, also, Sayla is wearing aviator sunglasses, and boy, does she look like someone.
No, what? No. She looks like Sayla with sunglasses. What?
Yeah, you're right. I don't remember writing that. That must have been Google that put that in the document. Yeah, Google that's it. Google done
fucked you.
Yeah, Google done fucked me. So we cut to Amuro, who is wandering through his hometown, and like, where the fuck is my mom?
Did you write that? Okay. He has this dumb, happy look on his face, and he's got all the he's like, the screen's all fuzzy around him. He's very happy.
Yeah, he's quite wistful at being home.
His voiceover has the line, "I couldn't possibly imagine you getting hurt, mother." Why the fuck would you think? That's a weird thing that to is. Just think. Like, okay, here's the thing. I have fucked up thoughts constantly where I'm like, I wonder if my entire family, what it would be like if my entire family was dead. Yeah, that's a terrible thought, and it just happens and I let it go. But I'm not fucking having romance music playing in the background and just wistfully looking into the distance thinking about it. It struck me as odd, and I wanted to, okay.
I didn't, the Japanese didn't have that. The Japanese is just like, man, I wonder where my mom is. All right, let's book it to home.
This is going to be a lot of this, I think, because a lot of my problems with this is the dialogue, which it is going to be different.
Yeah, I guess this episode had a weird translation bit, because, like, the Japanese was... casual reminder again, I'm watching the sub, he's watching the dub. I didn't have anything wrong with this episode in terms of... or not that I think would not be translated normally. It seems like a lot of this shit got real wonky as it got stateside. I blame the late 2000s. I mean, early 2000s. So yeah, he just starts running it to his house, which is a shot that takes and loops way too long. Before he gets there and looks through his window and sees, like, 5 Fetty soldier dudes just getting shwasted in his house, dancing to some funky fresh jams. It's quite jazzy tunes. He busts in the door and is like, the fuck, and turns off their funky fresh jams. And the 4 of them, excuse me, are very unsympathetic and unapologetic about being in his house. And inform him that, we got here and it was empty. Yeah. And he's like, but this is my house. It was empty when we got here. No one lives here.
They're also, like, I know they're supposed to be drunk, but they're also real shitty about it.
They're super shitty about it. So he's like, Mom, where are you? Mom runs to the house, and in the Japanese, one of them is like, Mom, 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 where are you, Mom? And it's like, dude, his mom could be actually dead.
Yeah.
Why would you taunt him like that? And at one point he straight up says, oh, maybe she died running away. And it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Also, aren't these soldiers that got left behind?
So like, we're gonna get to that, yeah.
Okay. My note for I have two notes for this. Is one, anyone in Zeon who does not have cool hair is just a monster.
These aren't Zeon, these are Fed.
Those are Fed? Those are Feds? Okay, yes. That makes a lot more sense.
Yes, these are Fed soldiers. They're gray outfits, which means they're grunts.
Right. Okay. Alright, that explains a lot, because I was also real mad, like, no one was being, like, I'm like, he's wearing a fucking uniform, why aren't they shooting him? Never mind.
Same uniform.
Yeah, okay, I don't fucking pay attention, alright? Just
fucking get good, mate.
I have trouble with details. My other note is that I hope that house got bombarded from orbit, so...
Anyway, yeah, no, those were four very shitty dudes, and yeah, fuck them. Also, on his side, and it's like, why are these soldiers not going, hey, that young boy is dressed in a pilot uniform, that's weird. Maybe let's not treat him like shit, yeah.
Also, wouldn't he outrank them if he's a pilot?
I don't know how that works, and I'm not going to pretend I do.
Okay. pilots were like, I thought all pilots were officers.
I have no idea, my guy. I don't military. Like, my brief research into that for the sake of that play-by-post we're both part of came up that the U.S. Air Force, nah, they're not all officers. So, fuck, man, I don't know.
So anyways, they're big dicks. He steals a fucking elf on a shelf.
It's his elf on a shelf. That apparently he
that
left
house with. Has been taken by soldiers? I think it is their elf on a shelf, actually.
Right, so he steals back an elf on the shelf. Elso has a flashback scene to when his dad and he left home to go to space and left his mother behind because she didn't want to live in space, where yeah. She straight up says, I just can't get used to living in space, which seems like a shitty reason to abandon your fucking kid and just be like, right. Yeah, go live with your dad in space. Fuck, I'd live in space for Chris's kid. And I'm not genetically...
He's a pretty cool kid. Okay,
he's also fair. A pretty cool kid, and also I want to live in space, so maybe that's not like the best. I'll admit there is some conflict of interest here, but what I mean to get at is what the dicks? Why?
Yeah, it seems real fucked up. Also, considering the fact that his dad's a workaholic who didn't seem to give very many fucks about him.
Yep.
And his mom seemed to give quite a few fucks about him, and also, like, was home enough to take care of the house for a long time. So, like, I know she's some sort of doctor or nurse?
I don't... It didn't say in the Japanese. She just said that... Oh, we'll get to that.
Well, she's working... Anyway, yeah, she's doing stuff.
Yeah. So, like, what the fuck? Chris?
Yeah, I just... I feel like he should have just stayed with her.
Yeah, that too. There's a lot I don't fucking get, especially later on. Like, fucking people categorize him as a space-noid, and it's like, motherfucker was born on Earth. He's not a space-noid, he's an Earth-noid.
He's the fucking a dirt monster.
Yeah, like, and then on top of that, once we get to the fucking types and shit, it's like, how did he be then? They were not even the space yet. What? How? Anyway, it's fucking stupid. Frankly, I would have had him just always have been born and raised on a side. I think that would have made more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck me.
But then they couldn't have this sign. This scene here.
This entire episode. Which, would that have been so bad?
No, this episode fucking
blows. Except for the end. Like, the end
there's some shit in this episode.
There is. So, yeah, so he takes the elf on the shelf, and the soldiers continue to be shitty, and Amuro just beats it out of there, and he comes across some more shitty people, who are buying an apple from this older woman, and
she's literally, in English, she's like, come on, pay me, I need this money to live, you shits, pay me!
Yeah, in Japanese, she's like that, too. She's like, are you gonna pay for that? Can you? This is how I make my livelihood. And
they I don't like, fucking come to your barracks and eat your goddamn bullets.
just eat your bullets.
Just swallow them all.
Right.
Have the most dangerous shits later. Just
explosive. Then the soldier's like, "All right, fine, I'll pay you," and like tosses the coin like 20 feet away.
Into the road.
Yeah. And Amuro's like, hey, don't pick that up, old lady. Also, he keeps calling her old lady. And I'm like...
And he knows her?
Yeah, like... calling her auntie would make more sense, or something like that, you know?
Or just lady.
Yeah, or Mrs.
Ma'am.
Whatever. Ma'am. Like, what the... why are you being... And, in Japanese, he calls her Oba-san, which means grandma. And there is, precedent for that in Japanese. Like, you call old women who aren't related to you grandma. That's just what you do. But there's an in-between one between old woman and young woman where you call them, someone else's wife. And it's like saying Mrs. whatever. Mrs. Lady.
Mrs. Lady.
He doesn't use that. He just calls her old. And it's like, she's not that fucking old. You're about to meet a bunch of people who are old as fucking dirt. And fucking... you're being shitty, is what I'm getting at, you fuck. Anyway, so, he's like, hey, pick that fucking up, you dicks. And they're like, what, you think you're hot shit? And he just gets pissed at them and fucking tackles one of them and just starts beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, goes fucking ham on this dude's face.
Yeah, which tells me he is in a very not good place. He's having some difficulties for unrelated reasons.
They have guns.
Yeah, and he just beats the shit out of them. Or attempts to.
Then they're like, oh, he's a child.
Yeah.
And just knocked the... And then the other guy, the guy he was punching, just literally kicks him in the dick for 30 seconds.
Yep.
I don't like Amuro. I felt real bad for Amuro. He was just getting his dick kicked in.
And this is again where I'm like, you are on the same side. How do you not know what a pilot uniform looks like, you fucking idiots? Anyway, so the woman is like, hey, I recognize that child getting the shit knocked out of him. That's Amuro. And stops the soldiers, gives them back their coin, and is like... All right, so then we smash cut to them on a porch, and it's like, yeah, the soldiers have been shitty because they were abandoned by Federation headquarters, and so they've just been surviving on their own, and they kind of turned shitty because of it. Which, I did some real cursory Googling, and apparently that's something that can happen. There's some historical precedent for that. I couldn't find super specific examples, but... if someone knows any, please hit me up with that shit. I'm legit curious. That's that's some complex geopolitical shit right there.
Lil.
Anyway, so, the woman recognized Amuro because, oh yeah, you used to play with my kid, who is now dead. Also, my husband is dead.
Everyone I know and love is dead.
Everyone. All dead. I am all that is left. I sell apples. I sell apples, and that is why
when they're not being stolen by soldiers that are supposed to protect me.
Yep.
That failed to protect my fucking husband and daughter.
Yep. All dead. All I have are apples. That is all I have left. And Amuro takes this surprisingly in stride,
like, oh, my childhood friend is dead.
And my
he left when he was like four, right?
That's I fucking remember Kyle from when I was four.
I didn't have friends.
I had one.
His name was Kyle.
His name was Kyle. He entered kindergarten the year before I did, so he was always a grade ahead of me, despite the fact that he is we were the same age, which I always thought was weird, but like, fuck it. Yeah. I remember Kyle. I vaguely remember his face. I don't remember him as a youth. I remember him when I met him when I entered in kindergarten again, because he was like, oh, hey, Bet is in this kindergarten class. I was in this kindergarten class. Hey, Bet, how are you doing? He was real sweaty that day. Because he was, like, playing
what
outside.
What the fuck is your meme? I don't remember, like, I have vague... Well, okay, we need to talk about this later. Your memory is fucking...
All over
way better
place.
Than mine.
Like, no, there... I don't remember, like, days of my life at a time, but, like, there were some moments where it's just, like, hold on, I need to grab my mic and bring it real close. You will remember this moment for the rest of your natural born life. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah. Hit me up with some of that dank fucking information on soldiers abandoned by enemy lines and then turning into shitty people. Or not shitty people, I'm curious. So, the woman who recognized him, she moves the plot along by going like, oh yeah, your mom is alive and volunteers at the refugee camp.
She's like, so you haven't seen your mom yet? And he's like, no. And she's like, she says, she hadn't sent you letters about where she is? She hadn't told you she's volunteering, at a thing? And he's like, oh, she's not dead? And this lady... isn't like, oh shit, I am so sorry, I should have led with that. She's like, yeah, you remember that... So this is another note that pissed me off. She's like, you remember that fucking church you used to, like, down by the hill? You know that church where you used to play...
with my dead daughter?
With my daughter? My dead daughter?
With my, my super dead daughter? Do you remember my... Do you remember my super, super dead daughter? Dead child!
It's at this point where I wrote the words, I hate this episode.
Yep. I would also like to note that we are talking more about this episode because we hate it, and it's gonna be a long episode of the podcast because we're doing nothing but shitting on this episode.
And talking about childhood memories.
Yeah, okay. That too. Shit.
So, here comes my favorite part of the episode. My boy.
Ryu goes out to shit on some motherfuckers. So,
yeah, they're like... Go ahead, sorry.
Well, first we cut to the Luguns, the radar planes from Zeon, just doing flyovers, and White Base is like,
where are they?
Fuck!
Do they have any Gurrens? The Luguns? Do they have any of those?
Think you're making some good anime references there, huh? I think you're making some timely references. It's cool. No. Real talk, the Death Battle series? I really want to see a death battle between Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann and the RB-75 Ball. That's a fucking death battle for you.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. Can't imagine who'll win that one. I saw that meme once and I laughed my fucking ass off. Anyway... So, the Luguns are flying around, White Base is like, shit, and Bright is like, alright, let's not fly White Base around, instead, let's just send out Ryu to, you know, do his fucking job as a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
So, Ryu gets booted out and proceeds to kick some ass, actually.
Also, you know what he doesn't do? Have a panic attack. It's almost like he's a trained fucking soldier.
Weird. It's almost like he is a trained soldier who is a fighter pilot for a living, who gets out there and whoops some ass with...
He just fucks up the first one, real hard.
Straight kills two dudes instantly.
Yeah. And you know what else? You know what he doesn't do after that?
Cry
go all white...
Oh,
that's harsh.
Amuro was a child that should not be fighting.
No. Like, okay, Gundam, we're not gonna be a stranger to children fighting wars, but, like, offhand, I could name four other 16-year-olds who are much better Gundam protagonists than this piece of shit. Go watch Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans. For two of them. Just anyway, so actually for all of them, like, I can make a top 10 list of better 16-year-old shit-pounders than Amuro, fucking Amuro. What's his last name?
The fuck is his Amuro?
I don't remember. Ray! It's Ray.
Yeah! Okay. He's... We don't care about him.
You know, the protagonist? Fuck him.
Look, at this point, I care about Ryu, Mirai, and the guy whose name I can't remember yet because we just met him last episode.
Ramba, fuck-mothering Rao.
So those are the three characters I give a fuck about. I just want them to go open a restaurant together.
Someday in Gundam Heaven, I'm sure. He then attempts to shoot the other one down, but misses, and we cut away to what one assumes is the refugee camp, because it has a Red Cross flag over it, and tents.
Yep. Also, I don't know if it's just me misunderstanding the geography of the area, or because they wanted it for plot reasons, but I felt like it was implied that he could have just walked to the church, like it was close. Oh yeah, it's down past that hill right over there, like...
Yeah.
And then he gets in his jet
to fly over there. So either Amuro is the type of person who goes to a strip mall and is like, oh, Radio Shack didn't have my thing. Walmart's like 300 feet down the way. I'm going to go back to my car and park it in front of Walmart. Or,
anyways,
the geography's funky.
I think he's a 16-year-old who's going to be like, I'm going to show my mom I can pilot a jet.
Yeah, there's that too. So, he lands the core fighter in the middle of the fucking camp.
Yep.
And some old dudes notice, along with some children. And first the children are like, oh shit, it's a fucking fighter jet, that's dope as fuck.
These are actually decent children.
These are okay kids. Fucking one of these kids, I'm into this kid. I want him to be like, okay, I will exchange three shitty kids for this one cool orphan.
Are you talking about the one who don't give no fucks about chocolate?
Yep, him. Because he, okay. Hence, herefore named Chocolate Orphan. is that offensive? Maybe.
No!
It's definitely, but I'm going to continue calling him Chocolate Orphan.
Oh, no!
So, Chocolate Orphan is, like, the leader of this pack of orphans. And
you can tell he's an NPC because he has a dumb face.
That too. but yeah, he's like, man, this fucking jet's cool as shit. And Amuro just jumps over them and, like, starts walking. And the old people
are
like...
Does a kickflip over him?
And the old
dunks on him a little bit.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater soundtrack plays in the background. Here I am, going on the road again. I've been listening to that song a lot. Anyway, so the old dudes are like, yo, hide the plane, because there's a Zeon base within shitting distance.
Which, I would like to point out, there's a town right there full of Federation soldiers. Why haven't they wiped out those soldiers yet?
I don't know. Like, it's weird. So, they're like,
hey, they're getting drunk in houses. You could literally just walk in and slap them to death.
But don't try to steal their apples. That's how you get their berserker rage, if you try to stop them. Like, hey, you're being a shitty person.
Amuro smash!
No, not Amuro smash. Smash Amuro. Just beat the shit out of him.
I also want to say, like, I've been punched in the face. He punched that guy in the face like 17 fucking times. Either Amuro's weak as shit, or the Federation should just have a land army, period, and just win. Because that motherfucker took some hits.
Yeah, that guy has more durability than a gunman.
It really does.
That or Amuro has weak spacenoid muscles. The Earth gravity slowly kills him.
Folds under his own weight.
Maybe. That might be it, man. I don't know. I've seen The Expanse. I know what terrible shit you can do to spacenoids with Earth gravity. Fucking warning on The Expanse, my dudes. There is some nasty shit in episode one. Anyway, regarding spacenoids and Earth gravity. Also, have we ever established what a spacenoid was? Someone born and raised in space. In case I haven't said that yet. Yeah. That's a thing they say in the show.
I guess I gloss over it.
Yeah, no, here's
that. Because it's a weird thing to say.
Why noid?
Why not spacelings?
Really, it was a Pizza Hut tie-in? That's some deep cuts trying to remember the noid.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, okay, hold on. What word goes with the... Fuck it, it's annoyed. It's avoid the noid.
It's annoyed. Anyway, so, hide the fucking plane so that Zeon doesn't...
Wait, wasn't that a 7-Up reference? Isn't that the little dot on the 7-Up?
No, that's the dot.
The fuck it...
The noid... Okay. The doid was pizza. I remember the noid was absolute... It was Domino's. It was Domino's.
It was before the pizza guy.
Yeah, Little Caesar.
Oh, fuck! That's a different pizza company!
Yeah, you're a mess, Chris. You're a fucking mess. Anyway, hide the fucking plane so that we don't die.
Yeah, like, you're fucking pulling some mad heat on us, you piece of shit. Like, yeah, which be cool.
Amuro is like, oh, okay, shit, yeah, you're right. And immediately turns around to do the needful. But then his mother is like, Amuro? 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 Mom! Amuro! And I want to note that was actually the spacing of that dialogue. At least in my version.
Fucking episode.
So, like, they see each other, and they have a moment of intense staring before hugging, where they're, like, 8 feet apart.
It's expensive to animate movement, so we gotta film.
They stand there, still image, for, like, a 5 count, before they're like, okay, let's let them move. And so then they hug... And it's a hug that goes on a while, frankly, and I think it looks kind of weird.
Never ends.
Chocolate Orphan is like, man, that guy's lucky. He has a mom, unlike me, the orphan.
Oh,
yeah, that was a little beat there that occurred, and she's like, okay. And then we cut back to the old guy who was like, hey, plane,
you gotta
move this
fucking plane.
And then he does. The fuck? Thank God he does. And then Amuro hands mom the backpack and is like, alright. Runs off, and the old guy's like, so is that your kid? It's like, no, that's just some fuck I met just now. Like, yes, it's my kid. Thank you. Anyway. Also, I want to call attention to this old man, and I know this is an audio-only format, but please remember that I'm pointing out this old man. He's got, like, a fuzzy, white, like, old man afro kind of thing going on, real droopy face, kind of chubby, like, a tan shirt with, like, a purple short sleeve over it. And, like, looks kind of like a dress. Like a light purple dress. Which was kind of weird, but whatever. Like, sure. Old people in Japan wear that, I guess. Whatever. I'm calling attention to this for a reason, which we will get to after the commercial break. Okay. But first, we cut to the mom tucking Amuro in, talking about some shit. It's actually just after Amuro explains the backstory to her. And then some chocolate orphan busts in and is like, Zeon's soldiers just showed up. And we cut to Zeon's soldiers getting out of their car, walking out, and Amuro gets hidden under the covers.
Yeah.
And
we cut to commercial. Talk about these fucks mustache? Ha! Fuck! Shoot!
Cool, man! Fucking...
Nailed it!
Don't surprise you with that. Oh. Cool, buddy. Fucking... Now I just want to interrupt you in the middle of a conversation. Like, commercial! Anyway. So, the mustache?
Their mustaches are terrible. I just... end of episode. That is all I wanted to say.
Oh, okay. That was the point. Alright. That's fair, I guess. So, we come back from commercial to Ryu and the Luggen continuing to dogfight. The Luggen calls in the position to base before being shot up and nearly crashing. Like... their cockpit got fucked, yet they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryu also took a hit, which, props to the show, they did animate that part. It wasn't just like, oh, he took a hit at some point. No, no. We see the moment he gets hit, which I appreciate a lot.
Yeah.
Has to turn back and go to White Base, and Bright learns this during a video call that Ryu does. And, like, during the video call, there's this sound effect playing, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? To be, like, the radio interference? But I realize it's the noise damaged mobile suits make in the Federation versus Zeon game, which just had me real confused now.
You might have too many Gundam touchstones to pull from, Fuzzy. Just, it's starting to
fucking say that to my face. Piece of shit. Fight me IRL, I'm fucking jacked. It's not true. Bright then decides, we'll call Amuro and have him clean up the mess.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Zeon is patrolling the camp, and they come in to the little, like, hospital room that Amuro is tucked very tightly into. It's like a group hospital kind of situation, right?
Yeah, it's a war hospital, and yeah. everybody just goes stock quiet when these fucking Nazis walk in.
Yeah, like they are just real casually like "fuck you," and the children are actively like "fuck you."
Yeah, so one of these shitty mustache assholes is just like, "Hey kid, you see a plane? You want some chocolate?"
I actually wrote the specific quote for this part.
Okay, go with it then.
So, this is the Japanese, at least. Maybe he says exactly those words in the English. Looks like we're not popular around here. Here, kid, have some chocolate. Go on, take it. I don't want it! Give me back my mom and dad! And then the old man is like, hey now, don't fucking antagonize the space Nazis. The young guy then goes, oh, how frightening. Well, you just lost your chance at chocolate, kid, he says, while sassily waving the chocolate bar at the orphan child.
Yeah.
Real strong play there, space Nazi. Taunt the orphan child.
Oh, great. You lost this chocolate, just like you lost your parents.
I would have had that moment where, like, even the next other Zeon guy is like, dude, what the fuck?
Like, the other dude's kind of chill.
Yeah, the other dude's just, like, hanging out. And it's like, yo, this guy's being real dickish. Like, are you not going to say anything? No? All right. Fuck you, too, then. Fucking bystander situation. Anyway.
So, his little calm thing goes... They're about to leave.
Yeah.
And he gets paged. And, dude... loses his shit. Like, holy fuck, was that a noise? Did someone just make a fucking noise? This is a hospital, you can't make noise! What the fuck was that? Who the fuck makes noise in a hospital?
Who dares make a beeping noise in a hospital? Who fucking...
like, that was a noise that might happen in a hospital.
But also, remember, this is, like, the... the 70s, I guess, we didn't, I guess this was before the machine that goes beep, to quote Monty Python. Excuse me, it's a machine that goes boop, I think. I don't know, it's been a while since I've seen The Meaning of Life. Bleh, I fucked up those words. anyway. So, Amuro, and then they're like, who the fuck made a noise? And then they question an old woman, who is like, I just turned 89. That's, in Japanese, that's literally all she says. She says, I just turned 89.
Yeah, in English, that's way better. Because in English, she says something like, I didn't hear nothing, I'm 83 or something like that. Which is just a fair statement. Like, hey, my hearing's not great. I'm old.
But, okay, remember the old man? Remember the old man that I talked a lot about? It's the same character! It's the exact same fucking, like, on model for the same character.
They just cast two people for the same...
And, like, why? Why not? Like, the only thing they changed is they made the 89-year-old woman's eyes beady bright eyes instead of normal white eyes.
That's amazing.
Which also, though...
I did not pick up on that.
Also, I'm 89! Great comeback. Just fucking, you tell him, 89-year-old woman. So, Amuro tucks himself in real tight... And the patrol is like, who the fuck is that?
Just panic.
He's turned away from me.
He's not looking at the camera.
Cheat out.
So he roughs up Amuro's mom.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. And I want to talk about the thing she is holding in her hand. As far as I... And look, I'm not a fucking medical expert. But I am someone who frequently has sinus infections. And that's a fucking neti pot. For those who don't know what a neti pot is, it's just a little tea kettle, but it's little and it's plastic. And you shove one end up one nostril and tilt your head over, and you pour water through your goddamn sinuses because they're dried out and you need to clean that shit out. That's what that is.
That's the fuck what was
she
like.
Pretending? What the fuck was she pretending to do? She's like, oh, I'm just giving a neti pot to this unconscious person. That's gonna be fine. I'm just gonna drown this fucker. That's what I'm gonna do.
This is why she volunteers. It's like just some injured civilian comes in and it's like, he's passed out and bleeding heavily. Amuro's mom walks over with the neti pot.
Don't worry, fam, I got this.
This doesn't help, Miss Ray.
Which, is it just me? You just, they never say her name, do they?
No, they didn't.
Okay. This fucking episode.
So, Amuro's mom is like, it's just an injured guy, and Amuro's, like, about to be discovered. Mom gets tossed to the side. So, under the covers, he fucking, like, bends and shoots the patrolman in the gut, and time just fucking slows down to a slideshow.
Because Amuro just wrecked him. My notes here are, Amuro, what the fuck? Amuro. Amuro, what the fuck? What the fuck, Amuro? I just gotta cold fucking wreck that guy.
Yeah. So, he shoots this guy in the gut, and he begins falling down, and Amuro just, like, is terrified right now. Throws the covers off, pulls the gun on the other guy, shoots
Who
once at
panics.
Him.
Panics!
Yeah, he panics that and just dude. Fucking bolts.
He's like, fuck it!
Yeah.
That guy was an asshole, I'm not with him!
This ain't my fight. Nope.
He runs like deserved it.
Yeah,
he does. He books it. Amuro goes fucking beast mode, jumps out the fucking thing, runs
sprints
after him,
after him,
stands in the door and just unloads his fucking pistol.
Misses,
which misses it every time until but he does fire until he hears clicking.
Yep.
Which I'm like, okay. Here's my question. My memory's not great. Was that the first person he's killed in like? Not hand-to-hand, but, like, in person?
Yes, but he didn't actually kill that guy.
Okay, well, the first person he
has shot gave in person, a yes.
super painful stomach injury. Yes. Like, that's the worst place to get shot, is in your fucking stomach.
This is the first time he has harmed someone on personal scale as opposed to vehicle scale.
Before this, he kind of just, like, looked at a woman and she fell and gracefully landed on her head.
Yes, before rotating like a hinge.
I'm still kind of...
Yeah, still, that was I'm still weird. They're outside of this field hospital now, and Mom comes out and chastises Amuro for shooting a person, saying, It's not right to point guns at people. And Amuro, like, even here, with very cheap animation, I felt like he was this close to being like, bitch, what? Because he is having a feeling so complicated here. For a lot of reasons that he doesn't list, but I took a shot at it and listed six possible options for his feeling so complicated.
Just hit me.
Number one, abandonment.
Right.
Fair. Number two, the fact she is a very loud pacifist and he's a soldier and there's already fucking shit there. Number three... she doesn't understand what the fuck he's going through because of reasons one and two, really. Number four, PTSD.
Yeah, which I think is a big part of this.
Yep. Number five, if she knew how many dudes he is personally responsible for killing, I imagine he probably thinks she might hate him.
Also, like, that number skyrockets at the end of this episode.
A little bit. And last point, double abandonment. There's a lot of abandonment that this poor fuck has gone through.
But he remains
silent. Mm-hmm. Poor fucking bat guy. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So Amuro answers his watch, and Sayla is like, hey, anything wrong? And Amuro's like, nah. No,
fucking fine.
And so Sayla's like, hey, we need you to fuck up that guy. And he's like, okay. Hangs up his watch. Mom further chastises him, and he responds, we're at war. I'm out. Yep. And goes. To which she responds, what a disgraceful child. Yeah, as he runs off to the core fighter.
She says something like, I'm ashamed to call you my son. Also, I don't know if I missed it or if it's just different, but she says something like, Amuro, you shouldn't wave a gun around like that. And he just screams, you don't love me! And runs.
Ooh! Like, okay, they kept it a little bit more to the implications in the Japanese, but, like, not wrong. I don't think he's incorrect in that feeling.
I feel like she disapproves of him.
What I mean is, I don't think he's off-base thinking that, and that's probably what he was thinking in the Japanese. They just didn't decide to have the boy child yell out, you don't love me! Before running away. So he runs to the core fighter, jumps in, lifts off to go shoot down that fucking radar plane. I'm sure this won't affect his PTSD. Actually, excuse me, I'd say it's more right now TSD? Still in the middle of being traumatized.
Right.
Active trauma stress disorder.
That's terrible.
Currently happening trauma stress disorder. We have quite a while before we get to post.
I've got something just for you right now, Fuzzy.
Please.
My wife has a piece of paper here with some notes on it. I'm assuming she was talking to you or something, because it has, like, Gundam Build Fighters and Battle Changers stuff written on it. But one of the notes she has off to it's by itself just says, Zabrax hips.
Zabrax hips.
Yep.
I don't. Zabrax like the Star Wars.
Yeah, like the Star Wars.
I have. I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you should know. I'm just you also know Mary, and yep, I just wanted you to share in this bafflement with me.
I'm baffled as well. I'm with you, being baffled. We are so baffled in arms.
this anyway. I'm just giving myself more work.
Every time we hit the end of a tangent, I like to yell a little bit to make a very big waveform. I tell myself that that helps.
I guess he does. I guess I wasn't paying attention to this part, because the next note I have is about what happened, getting the Gundam together.
Yeah, so Amuro heads off to find the Zeon base, and like a Devil May Care protagonist, flies in and starts laying down shooting runs. Two things I note here. One, the Lugan crashes like a mile out from the base. They don't make it home. They just crash. Then he starts laying in, and a Zeon commander runs out and is like, get to your fucking battle stations. And I noticed the half cape is standard Zeon issue. That's perfect. Not just a Char thing. That's a Zeon thing.
Perfect.
Burning Zeon. Gundam Bless. Fucking God Gundam Bless. That's an actual Gundam, by the way. God Gundam.
Oh my god.
In America, they renamed him Burning Gundam. So
I'm just...
That's your present.
Let's not.
Yep, no, that's the thing they did. So, he misses first pass, turns it around, two dops take off, he shoots them both down, and then the gun parry shows up, driven by Kai and a nameless other guy. Didn't mean to rhyme that, but, I'd watch that show, just Kai and random pilot guy fucking dicking around, getting into trouble on White Base. So, we are now introduced to some super robot bullshit. The mid-air transfer.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that...
What?
Because we cut to Mom, who is staring at the elf on the shelf, and says, and I quote, "Maybe because he was raised by a man, that's why he's so violent."
Wow. Okay.
And no, then we cut
he was
to
a
how
child she... soldier.
Yeah, that too. And then we cut to how she saw the dunk the covers and start shooting scene, and she saw it as Amuro being angry. When very much he was actively dumping a
terrified
load in his pants, like he was shitting himself. When he was young, he wouldn't even hurt a fly. And it's like, fuck you.
Because he was 4, and he definitely would.
Yeah, like, fuck you. Just fuck you. Get the fuck out. I hope everyone but Chocolate Orphan dies. just summarily, you're not worth the animation budget, except Chocolate Orphan. Bring him. He's cool.
Yeah, also, he's got NPC face, so it's fine. He's not even that expensive to animate.
Low-key, I would fucking love to see that guy come back in a later Gundam show. Like, hey, Chocolate Orphan? He's back, and he's pissed. Just
he's
like,
out for revenge.
He's out for revenge, and like,
he's the Iron-Blooded Orphan.
I would watch that fucking show.
Don't fuck with me, I'm a Chocolate-Blooded Orphan.
Buddy, you haven't seen any IBO.
No, I have.
They don't just pump. That's not. Fuck it. Yeah, that's the plot. They have actual hyper ironed blood, and thus chocolate blood. This one will have chocolate blood. What the fuck, dude? Anyway.
I mean, I was using it as a metaphor, but okay.
A metaphor? My veins are filled with angry chocolate.
Just, I am...
The chocolate of anger and revenge!
The molten chocolate of rage!
Molten chocolate of rage.
So, Degwin Zabi's giant penis.
Yeah, so we cut back to Monster Dong, get it right. So we cut back to the mid-air transfer, which is literally drop the legs, put the core fighter in the legs, and then take that apparatus, drop the torso, and plug those together.
So there, something goes wrong.
Because Kai's a piece of shit.
These guys be shit.
So first they dock the legs. That's fine. Yeah, then Kai fine. Kai is just like dropping the torso, and Amuro is like, "Yo," but he does it anyway. And so Amuro has to then like basically fly the core fighter leg apparatus.
Torso. I wrote down here, Amuro's fucking flying legs through the sky. He's just flying some fucking legs. Amuro's the best pilot.
Yeah, so he pulls it off, giving Kai shit, and I also wanted to know how he did this manually. Like, he just fucking rolled with the punches and did the thing, which, fucking nice, dude.
Nice.
So, he lands. He takes some hits, but then lands, and then he proceeds to fucking show Zeon why he's called the White fucking Devil. And in a scene very similar to the Zaku smashing up Side 7 in Episode 1, Amuro lays waste to this base. He
fucking brings the ocean to this fucking base.
Like, it's... Yeah. I blame this on the 70s, but if this scene were animated today, this would be, like, shot from the Zeon perspective and would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
He just kills a base.
Hey, are you here? Bad news. You're dead.
Yeah.
I'm in a fucking Gundam.
Yeah. straight up fucking murders everything. Bright sees this and is like, he's just wasting ammo. This is a fucking backwater base that does not matter. Why is he doing this? And then he calls Amuro and is like, stop? And Amuro does, but after already everyone is dead.
Yeah, no, I win. I win, Bright. Sorry, yeah, I already too won late. This. hold on, I've got... stomp on somebody. Yeah, no, it's done.
Now I'm done, yeah.
Now I'll stop.
get the pressure washer, though. We need this.
Gotta clean off my boots.
Yeah. So Amuro, we cut to the sunset with White Base in the background, and Amuro talking to his mom, who hands him the elf on the shelf, and she's like, so are you going to stay? And he's like, my comrades are on the ship. And Bright comes out and is like, Miss Ray, your son is very impressive. He has saved our lives on more occasions than I can account. I only had to backhand him once. Someone else backhanded him a second time.
It doesn't count because I didn't authorize it.
Yeah, it was not an authorized backhanding, but really... He does a damn fine job, and I'm very proud of him as a soldier.
For an 11-year-old child, he is an amazing
soldier.
He
is 16. I'd like to think he still said, for an 11-year-old child, he's very impressive.
In English, the line was something like, see, you're saying you don't want to stay? And he says, no, it's not like that. I just don't feel like I belong here. And I'm like... That's what that means, you fuck. That means you don't want to stay. That's what that means. You just said the same thing with different words. Dick.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Meanwhile, Fra and, what's the thing? The ball. I'm forgetting.
It's the ball. I don't know.
It's the tiny ball robot who's... Haro are in the background watching this, and Bright... straight up offers Amuro a chance to stay. Like, he is like, so, what do you want to do? No pressure out of that. Like, I straight up was like, he is offering him a chance to leave. Amuro looks at his mom, salutes, and turns around. And Bright gives her a salute and... turns on heel and follows Amuro.
Which, considering that she's a pacifist, isn't that kind of like flipping her off?
Maybe. as they're walking away, Fra turns around and sees Amuro mother fall to her knees and start sobbing. And then White Base takes off, starts flying away, and she's lamenting the loss of the innocence of her son that she once had.
Some moss falls off and kills her.
No. She's just literally the last shot of the episode is mom alone, crouching, hands to face, sobbing as White Bass just sails off into the sunset.
This is a good show, y'all. This is just a happy...
Yeah, it's real happy. Real go-lucky, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I would say it's like 70% happy, 30% go-lucky.
Yeah, that sounds like a good mix. Next time, Matilda comes back, everyone has a rough time, and we get the Zeon equivalent of
just,
Tucker's kobolds.
Hold on, back it up. Who comes back?
Matilda comes back. I was wrong.
My wife? My wife comes back?
Yes, your Gundam waifu comes back.
My Gundam waifu comes back. Yes. Good. Okay.
Everyone has a rough time, and we see the Zeon equivalent of Tucker's kobolds. Next time, time, be still.
Amuro! And that's the end, right? Like, we always, like, make a fucking dumb joke afterwards, and then I start laughing, and then you tell me that's the end.
Yeah, but then this time we went an hour and 12 minutes.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 13 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter, with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you're new to the Gundam franchise as a whole, and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember, Amuro fucking killed those dudes in cold blood.
So this has nothing to do with Gundam, and it's gonna, whatever, I'm telling a story. My earliest memory that I can recall, it had to be before I was five, so it was somewhere between 3 and 5, because that's when my mom met my dad, was 3. So, they referred to pot as grass around me, because they didn't want me to know they smoked pot, or something. It sounds real dumb now because they're such stoners, but they did. And then I remembered them one day complaining that they were out of grass. So I took a Ziploc baggie and a pair of scissors. Went out in the front yard and got them some grass.
That's kind of cute, honestly.
Just, here you go, parents. Here's your drugs. Got it in the front yard.
That's kind of strangely endearing. troubling, but endearing. Anyway. What's this podcast about again? Oh yeah, giant robots. And emotional damage.
I have one of those.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I can't laugh that hard because my horn is too hot right now because my AC is barely on. Anyway.